You're listening to the Here's the Deal podcast. If you would like more information or would like to connect with the show, check us out on Instagram and Facebook at Here's the Deal podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Here's the Deal podcast. My name is Dominic Kendall, and I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Luke Chris.
What's up?
So, Luke, let's start this off with one of the greatest questions ever in American history or any other kind of history. What are you into recently?
What am I into? You mean like things I've been enjoying or interested in lately?
Are you binge watching anything? Have you taken up Pilates? Like what are you doing?
Binge watching? No, it's always been Parks and Rec for me. Some new things for me lately is, the main guy from Need to Breathe, he kind of went rogue, I guess.
Like started making his own music.
Do what?
Good way or bad way? Rogue, like, seems like he. He's gonna kill me.
I mean, I don't necessarily. It kind of both, because the music he's making, it's called Wilder Woods. He has one album, and it is so good. It's really good on one hand, but it also worries me to think maybe Need to Breathe is done, which I really hope they're not. I've been really into Wilder Woods lately. Let's see, I found a really good podcast recently called This Cultural Moment. It's from two pastors. I think they're both in Australia. I want to say they're both in Australia. But it's just two really, really intellectual guys talking about this cultural moment, like right, being a Christian in a hostile culture and how that fits in with the political landscape, things like that. It's just a really, really good listen. But other than that, I don't know. What about you? What you been into?
Well, one side note. Need to Breathe, I watched them in concert. They were not the main thing in concert. They were the opening act to Taylor Swift Speak Now tour in Knoxville, Tennessee in 2011.
That's the weirdest combination I've ever heard of.
Taylor Swift has always said she loves Need to Breathe. And so it's how we justified going. So not only that, but one of the things that we're in, that we are into, me and my wife, we just found this documentary series, kind of docu-series thing on Netflix called Manhunt, Finding the Unabomber. I had heard about the Unabomber as a kid. You know, it was 1995, he was captured, 1997, he was sentenced, but had not really known anything about it. And one of the things was is that this, it was one of those documentaries where you hear about Ted Kaczynski and you hear about the guy Fitzgerald, who is the FBI agent. It's just this back and forth of how they Fitzgerald's trying to find the Unabomber, and he's sending all these bombs, he's making all these threats, and everybody thinks he's dumb, but he has 167 IQ. Bro. It made for a great 8 episodes. And we know that it won't have a second season because he's in jail. But anyways, that we've been really into that.
And he's still alive?
He's still alive. He sent 16 bombs over 17 years, killed 3 people, injured 23 others. And bro is in solitary confinement for the rest of his life in a hugely high maximum security prison in Colorado.
You got to think that the Postal Service would have some way of detecting a bomb.
Well, they didn't, and those people are dead. But I think maybe now they've made some changes since those kinds of times. I think there's probably ways of detecting it. There has to be. I could not perceive a way for you to do that in 2019. But we digress. So today's topic, and one of the things we want to talk about, is this question: is the view of God, and our view of God as a society, as Christians, as even Americans, our view of God. If you look at the landscape right now, if you look at even, because I know there's an election coming up, and you can see both sides of the aisle, both the left and the right. They both claim to, many of them will claim to love God, and yet what they stand for is strange. You have a lot of people who say they love God, but yet it doesn't necessarily look like the God of the Bible. And even us in the deep South, there is even in our churches, even in our families that are good Christian families, there can be an unhealthy, or maybe a better way to put it is a blurred view of God. Or maybe even we have a right view of God, but there's still roles that God serves in that we have a hard time reconciling. And so we want to kind of just unpack. The view of God, what a right view of God is, how we can cultivate that, and maybe even some ways to stay away from having unhealthy views of God. So I guess my question for you, Luke, is why is our view of God so important? Like, why is it so important that we view God in a very certain way?
Well, first off, let me just start with one of my favorite quotes from A.W. Tozer.
He says this. Aw, Tozer.
Aw, Tozer. He says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Mm. So what he's saying is our view of God literally is the most important thing about our entire life. Every aspect of our being is dictated by how we view God. And for me, one of the helpful things to do is to view God in the sense of him being an author, right? And God's word is the story that he has written, that is ultimate truth that he has invited us to step into, right? The Bible is closed, but yet it is still unfolding, right? We have a place in Scripture. And when we think as God, when we think of God as ultimate truth and the author of this redemptive story that he invites us into, he then dictates everything about us. Because if what God says is true, then if we align ourselves to that, then we are living in reality. But if we don't align ourselves to what he says is true in his word about him and about the world we live in, then we are living in, I guess, a false reality, right? It's all about finding your story. And the story that we want to live in is the one that God has written and God has providentially worked out, right? So if we don't look at God as ultimate truth, then ultimately we're going to be living in a false reality. So how we view God and how we view the things he says and the things he does and the things that he says and who he is, mm-hmm. it literally affects everything about us.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. One of the things I would say to that too is that even if you're an atheist listening to this, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if you're in the deep midst of the Amazon rainforest or if you're in Dallas, Texas. None of that matters. The truth is that each and every single one of us that is breathing air today has a view of God. We all have a view of God. It's just whether that's a right view or a wrong view of God. We all view him, and each of us acts on behalf of that. You know, I think very similarly to what you said about Tozer, Bill Bright. Bill Bright, he also has a quote about this. He says this: "Everything about our lives, our attitudes, motives, desires, actions, and even our words is influenced by our view of God." And so I want to echo that, but also for the Christian. And I think for the Christian, because just knowing a little bit about our audience, a lot of them are younger, 16 to 25-year-old listeners, outside of course, your mom and my mom, who are listening to this podcast. And the thing is that we are right now in a culture that would try to manipulate and change our view of God. And so we understand that we're listening, Christians are listening to this. And so one of the things that's so important is that even as Christians, we need to make sure we have a right view of God that is not that is not necessarily built by culture, that is not the influence of your political leanings, but is a view of God that is found in the Scriptures. And that's why it's so important for us to have a good understanding of the view of God. I know for our students, we just talked about this last week, that one day you will answer for your mind. And we talk about loving the Lord your God with all your mind. And I said, students, we will give an account for how we love the Lord with all of our mind. And for us to not know the God of the Bible that we hold so dear is for us to be not stewarding our minds very well. And so this is something that's really, really important. And so I guess, do you have anything else to say about that?
Yeah, this is another one of my, one of my most favorite quotes, and a lot of you have probably heard this. It is a quote by a woman named Babette Buster. I think I'm pronouncing that right. But she says, and you've heard this, "Narrative is our culture's currency. He who tells the best story wins." I love that. Mm. And all we're saying is that there's only one true story, and it's the one that God is the author of. So knowing who God is rightly is just aligning yourself to the true story that he has written, that he is currently unfolding for us.
Yeah. I think that's really good. This matters. And I agree with my brother A.W. Tozer and Bill Bright that this is hugely important. And so, knowing this, that not everybody can go to seminary, not everybody should go to seminary, that not everybody has the understanding of the Greek and the Hebrew, not everybody has, the deep intellect of the background of the Bible and has studied under the great teachers. I guess my question for us, if we want this to be practical, if we want this to be something that is actually doable by the 16, 17-year-old or the young married 25 to 26-year-old or the mom of a podcaster, whoever's listening, my question is this, is in a world that would tell us God is whoever you want him to be, or God is love, or God doesn't come after sin, or God is just, you do what you want and he's going to be okay with it. You can live however you want because the cross did. Like, in a world that wants to manipulate who God is, how can we know what is the right view of God? And then how do we continue to cultivate that in our lives?
You know what? For me, the obvious answer would be living a life that is rooted in Scripture. But I really want to hear what you have to say on this before I go. So,
yeah. Well, I believe this. That yes, if we're going to learn about God, if we're going to learn about, he's been so gracious to give us the gift of his word. And everything you're going to ever hear of us is always going to be pointing back to the Scripture. That's one of the main things that is the main vein in which we can hear the very word of God taught to us. He's revealing himself in the word of God. And it's not just on certain pages, it's everywhere. In the entire narrative of Scripture is God revealing himself in the way that he wants us to then respond back to him. You see his character. You see his likes, his dislikes. You see his stances on things. On things that we think God has changed his mind on, we see in Scripture that he's concrete. And so the best way for us to do it is to find it in God's word. And what is the right view of God? Well, I just want to take a look at even the very beginning in the Genesis narrative, the creation narrative. Just the first few chapters of the Bible, we see a very clear picture of how God has created himself. If we just look at the first few chapters of, if we look at the very few chapters of the Scripture, we're going to be able to see how God has shown himself, and it would change our political climate. It would change the way that we function if we were just to take God at what he says about himself in the first few chapters. I look at the very first verse of the Bible, and it says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." you want to know something about a right view of God, is that God was not some made-up figment of somebody's imagination, but he was in the very beginning. He was not created. Before there was, God was, and he created everything. I look back down there, and then I look at the beautiful form of the Genesis 1 narrative with how God created things. On the first 3 days, he formed things. And then on the first 3 days, he formed things. On the next 3 days, he filled everything. So he formed things and he filled them. God doesn't just create shells of things. He fills them with things. And everything was good. I look at the way that even in the first few chapters that he one of the very first things he does after creating man and delighting in his creation, and he goes and does that whole thing where he's like, hey, is this a hippopotamus? Hippopotamus, that's its name. And whatever he named it, that's what its name was, which is awesome. You see even in the first little bit where God stands on marriage, right? You see where he creates a man and a woman, and he creates them for each other. He needs a helper. He creates two people who are equal in worth but different in role. God has already done that. He does that with in creation. We see his stance. It's not, hey, this can happen, this can change depending on it, but that was firm. We see that God is a God of covenants. Like even the first few chapters, that God wants to be with his people and wants to be in relation with his people. And you just see time and time again, I'm just talking about the first few verses, first few chapters of the scriptures. There's so much more of how God is showing and revealing himself so that we can know him more. If nothing else, you find in the first book of the Bible that God is good, God is eternal, God is loving, but God is wrathful against sin. There are penalties for it. But yet God is always on this journey of redemption to redeem his people and bring them back to himself. Man, I see that's just in the first book, man. There's so much, and God is so clear on who he is. And so that's just the right view of God. And I think that's one of the ways that we can find the right view of God. But what have you done? What have you studied? I know that you and I have studied in different realms and been a part of different areas and different people have poured into our lives. And so for yourself.
For me, one of the things that immediately comes to mind is a word that is found nowhere in the Bible, but that is alluded to on every page. And that is that God is Trinity, right? Mm. God is three persons, one essence, but God is three in one, right? And I think that's extraordinarily important to understand who God is and why he does the things that he does. Because at the foundation of who God is, right, we know that the scriptures lead us to believe that he is love, right? And unless God is Trinity, he cannot be love. God is love because God is Trinity. Because once we understand him as three persons, we realize that, right, before he was creator, before he was ruler, before he was sustainer or judge or wrathful or any of these things, God was, mm-hmm. at his foundation, a father loving his son through the power of the Spirit, right? It was a holy harmony of communion, of pure joy, right? He had no reason to create us other than an overflow of the love that he already had for the Son, right? The Father created out of overflow as a gift for the Son, right? The Son is the heir of all creation. And as we are in the Son, we are also the heir through that. Man, and that's just so much love that overflows from him. That's why I think it's so crucial to understand God is Trinity, right? Before he was anything, he was a Father loving his Son, and the Bible lays out a clear picture to the shape of the Trinity, right? That the Father is the lover and the Son is the beloved, and that the link between them is the power of the Holy Spirit. And you may say, yeah, that's great, but what does that mean for us? It means so much for us, because then we swap places and the Son is the lover, right? And we, the church, are the beloved. So I just think it's so important to understand God is Trinity. J.I. Packer says this. He says, you can understand, this is not word for word, but he says, you can understand how well someone understands Christianity by how well they understand God as Father. Mm. And I just think that's so important, man, because we can often create this false dichotomy between the Son and the Father, that the Son loves us, right? Jesus loves us. He went to the cross for us. But the Father is this angry God who's sitting up on his throne and he's mad at us, right? And that's not the truth. The most important thing to understand about the Trinity is they are a unity of essence, right? They are one essence. They are distinctly three persons, but they have a unity of action. That means that their every thought, their every desire, everything they do, they fully agree on it. 100%, three in one. So all the love that the Son has for us, it starts with the Father's love for us, right? It's all an overflow. The Father can be described as a fountain of love, right? He is the fountain. He's the sender. He's the beginning of it.
Yeah.
The Father loves you. The Son loves you. And the Holy Spirit loves you. And that's the link. Understanding God as Trinity is the correct view of God. And how do we cultivate that? Most practically, nothing makes us look more like the Father than our love for the Son. Nothing makes us look more like the Father than our love for Jesus. And vice versa, nothing makes us look more like the Son than our love for the Father. Man, that's holiness. Holiness isn't simply sinning less. While that's clearly a part of it, holiness is molding ourselves into the image of Christ. And nothing does that more than our love for the Father and our love for the Son.
Yeah, and cultivating that through the Word is huge, and cultivating it through the ways that and the avenues in which with which Jesus has given us through the church, where we get to see a better picture of Christ as we come together and share in that and love each other. As we see in His Word, we need to be people who know God's Word. We no longer in 2019. And in our culture today, no longer will simply knowing John 3:16 and Philippians 4:13 suffice in being able to combat darkness in the world around us. No longer will mediocrity in our devotional time, and no longer will hoping that the pastor does it be effective for advancing the kingdom in 2019. We got to be people who know our Word, know it, love it, and cling to it. And, you know, I just think this, and I believe this so much, that we need to be people who know more about the Bible than anything else in our lives. Our pastor, Russ Quinn, said that this past week, that there should be nothing else in our lives that we know more than the Scriptures. Because there's nothing more important than to know our God, the one who knows us.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And so we can find it in the Scriptures. We can find it there. But what we've got to be careful with is, like I said in Genesis, where you're seeing the creation of a loving God, the covenant, the community between us and the Father, and then we see this brokenness of sin, God's wrathfulness to it. If we begin to look outside the Bible or think we're beyond that, and we begin to just operate on what we feel God feels or what we feel God is, that's when we begin to create God. And what we begin to do is create a God that does not exist and create a God that's not in the Scriptures. And so we must have a right view of God based on the Scriptures. And there's ways to cultivate that in God's Word, in community with like-minded believers who love the Word of God as well. There's always, in 2019, man, you can figure out a whole bunch of different things. There's wonderful, there's ways that you can read the Word and listen to the Word. There's ways that you can, there's podcasts, there's great books, there's articles, there's wonderful resources out there for us. I just want to share a couple resources for you guys. And Luke, if you've got any extra, I would love for you to throw that in there. One of the things that we use very actively here in our student ministry is something called the Bible Project. That's just a wonderful way to learn about God, learn about His characteristics, how He views things that He created and the way that He designed them. TheBibleProject.com is wonderful. GotQuestions.org is a great resource. And most of them come in really kind of almost funny videos. That's wonderful. I know Desiring God is a big resource. I think, Luke, you'd agree with that one. That's a wonderful resource of just learning more about who God is in a deeper, deeper way. And then I know another one that I've used in the past is BibleGateway.com. It's just been good with commentaries and some background to kind of help take sometimes the really big thing of Scripture, but yet make it small and understandable. And as we grow and as we get deeper into the Word, those are really helpful resources in that. Luke, do you have any good resources that you've used?
Yeah, I would just second the Bible Project, Desiring God. Really, all those on the list are good resources. Any of those good websites like Desiring God or the Gospel Coalition, they just put out good articles all the time. Nine Marks, they put out really good stuff. Lately, one of the probably one of the most the Babylon Bee, your trusted source. One of the most formative books that I have ever read is called Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves, and I cannot recommend that highly enough. And it puts everything that I just said in a 5-minute clip, it puts all of that into maybe 150 pages, and it just is really, really well written, beautifully written, lots of really beautiful metaphors to help a believer understand God as Trinity. That's been super influential. But yeah, dude, the Bible Project is probably my favorite thing in the whole world.
I could watch that for days, just watch them do stuff. One of the things that I want to mention before we move on to just this next last whole part is this, is that when we begin to discover more and more about God, we will begin to discover the many different roles that He plays in our lives. That He's not, you know, this lording over old man with a grumpy face and a beard throwing lightning bolts at people. But as we grow and we look through the Scriptures, every single book just begins to show us either reaffirming a characteristic and a role that God plays, or showing us something new that God, a new role every single time. And so some of the ways that God, some of the roles that He has are that He's a loving Father. He's a wrathful judge. He's the refiner. He is jealous for His namesake. He's a king. He is near to the lowly. And so all these different roles that He has, even as finite creatures, there are some of these roles that we can really go good with and we're really okay with. And as the believers, as Christians, you know, I'm good with my God being a reigning king. I'm good with that. Kingdom living, like, I'm good with that. I'm okay with Him being a wrathful judge. I'm okay with Him with punishing my sin, and like, I'm good with that. And, like, in correcting me, I'm really good with that. But, you know, even for me, I feel like there's sometimes that Him being a loving Father is one of the stumbling blocks for me. You know, trying to view Him in all these different ways, knowing that He is perfect in His love and His wrath and His judgment and His reign and all that. You know, even for me, there's times where Him being a loving Father is hard. And that may come from a different, for each of us, man, we may come, Him being a wrathful God, we're good with that. Him being a jealous God, for some of us, that may scare us, that if we look away, that He's going to hurt us, or He's going to cause cancer and pestilence to come to our family, or we're good with Him being a loving Father and a wrathful judge, but for Him to be a reigning King, that's very scary for us. That seems almost oppressive at times, and we don't know how to work that out. Like, what do I do for the King? He says He loves me, but am I supposed to just serve Him as a mindless servant that He doesn't care for? And so, us having a right view of God, we're going to begin to get into the roles of God, the different areas in which God serves, and we've just got to be careful, and we've just got to be aware that there are places that God serves and roles that He serves in that may buck up against us. For me, it's being a loving Father. And so I guess this, is how can we, when those things come up, that we're good with him being a good judge, a rightful, righteous king, and but there's another role that Jesus plays that we're not fully in yet. We don't really get. We're struggling with that, or there's something that he does that because of a earthly relationship, it's marred that spiritual relationship. How do we overcome that? What do we do to not get past it, but allow him to redeem it?
I'm going to give you the same answer I gave you to the last question, which is simply let your view of God be rooted in Scripture. Mm. And I know that is obviously a lot easier said than done.
Yeah.
Because people, whether you realize it or not, people always come to the text. They always come to the Bible with a preconceived, a presupposition about who God is. Yeah. Everybody comes to the Bible with a different lens on, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we're just going to see things differently in the Bible. For example, for God being a father, like you talk about, that's a big hang up for some people.
Yeah.
Some people may have not had good earthly fathers or had bad experiences with male figures in their life. Like for me, to picture God as a father has always been an easy transition for me, because like, no shame. I've got a good earthly dad, right? So for me to picture God as a loving father, that was easy, man. That's just a better version of my earthly father. It was easy for me to fall under that. And there's other things that it can be very easy to impose your will on about who God is. One of the things I hear all the time is, my God would never do that. My God would never say that. Or a loving God would never do this or that. It's like, that's your view of God that may not actually be in line with the Bible. So I would say, obviously, just the easiest thing to do is root your view of who God is with Scripture. Don't pick and choose the things that you like, but take the whole counsel of the Word of God and form your view of who He is through that.
Yeah, that's good. I would always encourage as well, community, find a group of believers, a small group, your Sunday school class, your life group, whatever it is. If it's your mom's breakfast Sunday, whatever, if you're, men's Bible study, and I want to encourage you, find a group of people, because, the beauty of the body is that, maybe it is that you struggle with him as a loving father, but you're okay with him being angry and wrathful against your sin and the corrector and the rebuker. But maybe you've got a lady who's wonderful with him being the loving father, but the wrathful God and judge, that you don't like that. She doesn't like that. Maybe that's where you guys can then come together. And I think that's really worked out through the power of the Spirit, the beauty of the Scripture in the place of community. I think that those can be fleshed out to where you go, man, I've never viewed him as that before. My earthly father was this, that my husband was this, my whatever was this, that you guys can, like the Scripture tells us, that you guys can spur one another on to good works and spur one another on to share and see Jesus all the greater, see God all the greater, that your view of him is growing daily, weekly, yearly, until one day your view is face to face. And so we look forward to
that's
that.
That's really good.
And so I think that those are some good ways to do that. So if you struggle with that, don't find that's a hang-up. Don't let that be something that stunts your growth. Find a group that you can share that with. And so I hope that's helpful for you. Luke, do you got any closing statements on this?
Just before we close, one of the most practical things I can recommend to people who struggle with certain areas of the way they view God or whatever it may be, right? If you're trying to form your picture of who God is in your mind, as you read throughout Scripture, man, just look for it. Just be open to what the Bible has to say about it, because there's so many little diamonds in the Scripture that you would just read right over. You would skim right over and not see that. And one of my favorite examples of that is Luke 12, verse 32. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says this, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." in that one verse, right, we have, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That one verse tells us that God is one, a father, two, a good shepherd, and three, who can offer the kingdom but the king, right? He's a father, he's a shepherd, and a king. And not only does that tell us about who God is, but it also puts us in our place. If he's a father, a shepherd, and a king, that means that we are beloved sons and daughters if we're in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. We are sheep that need not do anything except follow the shepherd. And three, if he gives us the kingdom in Christ, we are heirs. Heirs to the throne, heirs to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just little verses like that that point us directly to who God is and teach us more about him. And finally, my most practical thing I can say is, let me read this verse in Hebrews. It says, "Long ago," this is the opening line of Hebrews, "long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world." So if you want to know who God is, then he tells us through Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. Man, read the Gospels, study the life of Christ, and that will give you a clear picture. Because again, they are the same essence. Distinct person, same essence, same action. Look to Jesus if you want to know who God is.
That's really good. I think this is something that will not be complete in a week. This is not a one-night study session that's going to complete this. As we grow, part of the sanctification and part of the beauty of the work of the Holy Spirit is that he will, not even just now, I believe this, that as God is infinite, so is his characteristics, his beauty, and his power. I believe from now and for all of eternity, the Spirit will be illuminating us and just showing and constantly revealing to us the beauty and the power of who God is. And so this is not a venture that's going to be done by one night of drinking a ton of coffee and having your Bible and some commentaries. This is a journey that as we walk it, we will continually grow in knowing who God is in our view of God. I pray that our view of God continues to grow bigger and bigger and truer and deeper as we walk this life being faithful to our King on the road to glory. And so, Luke, do you have any closing remarks for us before we duck out of here?
Nope, that's about it, man.
All right. Well, listen, we are so grateful for you guys and for your listening to this. Now, know this. The way that this works, the way that we can continue to do this is by faithful listeners who are subscribing, who are rating us. A comment is a plus, and also sharing this. All you got to do, if you go to Apple, and soon we will be on Spotify. Listen, Apple and Spotify, what we want you to do is go in there, copy the link, and just send it to somebody. You don't even have to say anything. Just send it to every person in your phone. You don't have to do that, but we'd love for your recommendation when people are looking for some good podcasts. We'd love for your feedback. We've got some exciting shows coming down the pike, and we'd love to hear what maybe you're going on, some struggles, some joys, some things you're just interested in that we could bring up here on the Here's the Deal podcast. We are grateful for you. We are thankful for you. We hope that this helps you walk closer with the Lord, love the Lord more, and grow in affection towards the Lord. Because here's the deal, there's nothing greater, there is no greater purpose, there is no greater joy than to know the Lord and have a right view of him. So we appreciate you, we thank you, and hopefully we will see you next time on the Here's the Deal podcast.